Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear a student being interviewed at a university. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
So, thanks for coming in for this interview at our university, Richard.
Thanks for asking me, Dr. Langer.
So, I can see from your application form that you took a year off.
Yes, that's right.
Can you tell me about it?
As you know, I did French and German at school, but I wanted to learn a language that was not from Europe before I started doing modern languages at university.
Where did you go?
I decided to go to Cairo to learn Arabic.
Did you have any basic Arabic before you went?
I studied it myself a little bit, but it wasn't much to prepare for being in Cairo.
Did you do a course?
Not straight away. I couldn't afford it. After getting somewhere to live, I got a job in a sports club. I'm a good tennis player, and I gave lessons at a local tennis club in the mornings and afternoons.
Did you need a work permit?
Theoretically, yes, but the tennis club wasn't worried about that. Later, when I saved some money, I took an Arabic course. My parents helped out with the costs of that as well.
Did you find Arabic difficult?
It depends. Initially it was hard, as it was so different, but I soon found out that the grammar was very straightforward. I found the pronunciation really difficult, and the reading also was really hard. I had to master the alphabet before I could start to make sense of it.
When did you start to become operational in Arabic?
In speaking, I could start having conversations after a couple of months. I had lots of opportunity at the tennis club to practice, but it was in the evenings when I would go to cafes and talk with people there that my spoken Arabic really took off. The locals were very friendly and delighted that I was trying to learn their language. Most people would chat to me.
And the reading and writing?
That took a lot longer and I'm still not great at it now. The good thing about the writing, though, is that all Arabic is the same when written, whereas the speaking versions can vary in dialects in all Arabic-speaking countries.
How did you like the food?
Cairo is a very cosmopolitan city, and you can get all sorts of food there. The basic fare is rice, breads, grilled meats and salads. They also have lots of great dips to eat with vegetables and bread. I loved it. You had to learn where to go, though, as the quality could be variable.
You now have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen to the rest of the interview and answer questions 26 to 30.
I'm glad you seem to enjoy your year in Cairo. So which two languages would you like to specialise in here?
That's a difficult question, as I'd like to continue with my French and German, but I don't want to abandon my Arabic. It would also be fun and useful to do another language from scratch. I'd be really keen to learn Chinese.
We don't offer that here, I'm afraid, though we do the others.
I think I'll go for the Arabic and my best European language. My German is a bit rusty, but I also practice my French in Egypt. I'll go for the French, I think.
That would be a good mixture.
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Of course.
I'd like first to know how the course is taught. I guess the usual university lecture style isn't suited to languages.
No, although when you study literature in your chosen languages, there are lectures. The first year of the course focuses on your getting a good knowledge of the grammar and vocabulary of your languages. This is done in kind of school-type lessons. Through the year, the key areas of grammar are covered. For developing your vocabulary, students will be assigned various readings on particular topics. These then will be discussed in smaller seminars.
How many people are in a seminar?
Usually 6 to 10. These sessions are led by a native speaker of your languages, and the focus will be on developing fluency in speech and vocabulary.
That sounds good.
The second year continues with lessons to cover grammar, though usually more obscure or difficult points. The speaking seminars are replaced by seminars on literature and cultural topics. These seminars will be led by the same teachers as in the first year. There'll be lectures on literature as well.
And the third year?
You spend that in countries that speak the languages you're studying. You spend 5 months in each country.
What will I do in these countries?
You can either study or work. You have to study in a university that runs an approved program, or do a job that we agree to.
Can I get any help with these?
Yes. You can organise things yourself, but you have to make sure that the course you choose to study at the foreign university has to be an approved program. If you can't find anything, we have a list of suitable universities in various countries, and these universities are used to students coming from us. Jobs are probably harder to organise. You, of course, may have some friends overseas now who might be able to help. A lot of students have family who have business relationships in other countries, and that can be a good way to find a suitable temporary job. If you want a job and can't find one, we have some contacts that we can use to place you.
And year four is back at the university, I suppose.
That's right. The grammar classes will be over then, but you'll have seminars discussing language points that you or your teachers bring up. Then there'll be more lectures on literature in the languages that you'll be studying.
I expect year four will have the final exams. Is that right?
Oh yes. You will have a series of exams. There will be an oral exam, which will be conducted by a native speaker teacher. That will be in early May. Then, at the start of June, the written exams will come. There will be two translation exams, a listening exam, and two exams on literature. The literature exams will depend on which topics you choose. Your final course grade will be based on these exams combined with various assignments set over the course, and a third-year dissertation.